Hello, everybody. Welcome to Code Pen Radio number 419. As you listen to this, we're going to be in public beta for our CodePen 2.0 editor, which is a big freaking deal. And we're going to take this episode to to welcome you and to say why. Why did you do it? Why'd you do it, CodePen? I have with me my friend and co-founder for so many years, Alex. Hi.
So long. Hey, thanks for having me here.
Yeah, we've been through thick and thin here. So a lot of this comes from Alex's kind of amazing brain, but we have a lot to talk about. So the idea is, like, this was a huge journey for us, a hero's journey in creating 2.0. We had big ideas for it, yada, yada. But why did we even start this journey is an interesting thing to think about, because CodePen in the early days, it just did what it did, you know, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. We offered some processors. I feel like, you know, you and I talked a little bit, like, we picked well in the early days. We picked, you know,
we chose pretty well. We did. We got lucky on some of it.
Yeah. Like, SAS was such a big deal for such a long time. Yeah. It still is. It's a heavily used processor. We supported SAS. You come to CodePen and you play with SAS. That's such a big deal, right? But, you know, you told me the other day, like, what would it take to add one more pretty serious processor to the old editor? And we're like, oh, buddy.
I can tell you it required several database migrations, which should tell you a little something that it would be quite a while.
Yes, and we would, it's not like we never did it, but that old system of CodePen, one thing with it is it really wasn't architected to be extensible. And as time marched by with CodePen, we were like, oh my gosh, we could kind of feel change happening in the industry, and that change happens more and more rapidly. Like, it's that joke about days since last major JavaScript framework released or something, and it always says 0 days because people are doing stuff or whatever. You're like, does CodePen support any of those? Not really. Sorry. You know, and that's a little, it can feel a little embarrassing, although, you know, we're not one to sit around and be embarrassed. So we're going to build a new system that adapts to that. And so, like, I think that was there's a lot of things to think about here. For another one is that we listen to our customers and we have a really good idea about all the people that use CodePen. What do they want? When do they choose to leave CodePen? What motivates them to go pro on CodePen? We have a lot of data there. So of course the 2.0 product is knowing those things and building those things. But this other idea of, like, our like Henry Ford, like, I'm not just going to give them a faster horse. We're going to re-architect this thing. What they need is a different thing. And it kind of, it came from your mind, because I sure couldn't have invented what we're now calling the CodePen compiler.
Yeah, we started, you know, the one constant that you see from when you build anything that people care about is that they always want you to make it better, faster, and allow them to do more things with your product, which is great. It's a great problem to have. So when you look at that problem and you go, everyone's requesting something, and we could have just taken the number of requests and kept adding every little piece that was requested. That there is a version of CodePen where we just grab some data, see how many requests we get for things, take some polls, and just keep adding little bits and pieces of technology. But there's a lot of technology that, with a lot of many small communities where people are really passionate about that technology. So how do we help those people build on CodePen?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Big part of it.
I remember making internal slide decks where we're talking about that idea. Like, what if these little smaller technologies, but not even small, but like Vue was one of them. Like, what if we could serve the Vue community super well? I don't know if we have nailed that exactly, but at one point we're like, let's try and build like a Vue-specific editor, which still exists on CodePen. It won't, because the new 2.0 editor totally, like, removes the need for it specifically. But we're like, we'll just build a custom special editor just for Vue. And at one point we did it for Flutter for Google as well. And these things were like an interesting take. It's like no regrets necessarily, but I don't think any of them really knocked it out of the park. But we kind of like learned from that concept of like, maybe we really can do this. Maybe we can build an extensible system, but not maybe individual editors. Maybe there can be like one editor to rule them all kind of thing.
Right. And that's where we started thinking, okay, how do other companies solve this problem, right? This is, how is it that you make a system that feels like it's infinitely extensible?
Yes.
But is something that is manageable. And the pattern, the most successful pattern I've seen in software is where you have a common core that essentially orchestrates the entire system, but then you have other extensions to that core that adhere to an API, and that's how you end up using that technology, right? So you can think of things like Webpack. Webpack has, is it extensions? I'm not exactly sure
what
Webpack
calls. I think they were extensions in there. Yeah, yeah.
Something akin to that.
I see where you're going with this, you know, like a build system that's extensible is certainly Webpack does it, Babel does it, but like
Babel does it. Yeah, but if you look to the greater software ecosystem, you can look at iOS and apps. You can look at AWS and all the APIs that how they did their re-architecture, right? Yeah. So it's like, this is a pattern that's common to just software, right? Like if you think of the operating system like Linux or Windows as the common core and then individual apps as the extensions, that's just the common pattern. That's how we handle infinite amounts of complexity in software. Yeah. So it's like, okay,
you
that's actually what we need
it.
To do.
Yeah, for sure.
You're plugging into it. And so in software, that means you're writing an API and everyone adheres to that API. And somehow that API allows you to do everything that you'd want to do with these extensions. And
you're avoiding saying the word blocks, which is our version of this extensible thing in code. I know it's a new word for people, so you're going to have to get used to it. That's what we call these extensible pieces of the CodePen compiler in the new editor. And we are not shy about using that word a lot in the editor. So when you extend our compiler, and you do this as a user, you're like, I'm going to add to the build process, because, you know, every time you stop typing on CodePen, the build process runs and it shows you the preview. That build process runs fast, but you get to decide and control a lot more of it than you ever used to be able to do on CodePen. So like now SAS, just because we mentioned it already, that's a block. So you just right. choose to add it to the CodePen compiler and then it runs. So I'm not going to delve too far into the like the feature set of or whatever, but that's the idea, is this pluggable system that came out of your mind. But a thing that you were huge on from the beginning and really had to keep us all in line about is that there's like, none of them are unique. There's nothing about the compiler that like does really special stuff for individual. Like the block itself has to have all the information about like how it like adheres to this API perfectly, you know?
Right. We wanted to make sure that the compiler that essentially orchestrates the build for us, that none of the information about what it's running is hard-coded into the compiler, right? Like that was huge for us in the sense of like, if you're adding SAS or Less or Stylus, any of these frameworks, or even say Tailwind, that the compiler would be able to learn everything it needs to do, what the order of operations, what to build in what order, what to do with the results of that order. It should know everything from the block itself, right? The block has a block file that tells us what it does, and the compiler understands that block file and then puts it into the order automatically for you. Because it's CodePen, it's still supposed to be easy for you. It's more complicated for us. That's a good thing. But we're not trying to introduce you to new technologies. We're trying to make these technologies that you already use easier to combine.
Right.
And easier to build websites with, so that you can just focus on building websites.
Yeah, I was so huge on that in the beginning, that the way that you'd talk about that, because of code, the compiler is what's orchestrating all these blocks together. The compiler is what's deciding what to run and how to run it and when to run it and what it can be in parallel with and what it can't, and making all these complicated decisions that you never need to think about as a user. And you can combine them infinitely, which to me is like, wait, what? You know, the old CodePen was like, dude, you get to pick. It was literally expressed itself in the UI as a select menu. You pick one of them. In this new one, we're like, no, you can use as many of them you want. I don't, it probably won't be quite to this extreme, because we'll get to base blocks probably in a future episode. Those are a little bit mutually exclusive, but otherwise you can add every single block that we offer if you'd like to. That would be weird maybe, but you should have, and you should never have to think how they get wired together, because it has been countless times how annoyed I've been at web development in the wild, where you're like, how do these two things get wired together? How does it work? Do I have to run the TypeScript first? Can I use TSC to do this, or do I need Vite to figure it out? Or like, how do they get wired together? And sometimes there's hard limits on those things. Like if you're using some static site generator tool that like has first class integrations with some CSS processors but not others, does that mean you just can't use the other CSS processor or what? Like that's obnoxious to me. So I just feel like that's so cool when you would talk about like, it doesn't matter. It'll figure out how they go together. And now experiencing it, they really do. You just add it. You do not have to think about how they are wired together, but you still have the control of how each individual block behaves. TypeScript is a block. TypeScript is super, super configurable. You have all that configurability, but you don't need to worry about how it works with Babel or whatever, or some other processor. Like, it doesn't matter. You just leave that to us. Leave it to the compiler. We'll figure it out.
And that's the goal, right? For us to, when you have a, we have a build system that's we built internally with the compiler where it's focused specifically on front-end code. Like, this isn't a build system akin to like GitHub Actions or Bazel. I guess GitHub Actions is more CI, but like Bazel. I'm going to say Bazel. Google's build system. This isn't like a general build system, right? This is focused specifically on front-end. And it knows, you know, that, hey, you should probably process SAS before you like minify CSS, that kind of a thing, before you build your templates and integrate things like that. So it does have knowledge about what it's building. But what that allows you, the developer, to do is not have to think about how those things are organized and how they're combined. And to me, the number one thing that's the hardest thing to do is when you go, well, I want to use either Next.js and Vite or something like that, and I want to use Vue, or I want to use React, but then I also want to combine it with these other three technologies. When you individually, those little pieces tend to be pretty simple. Like, you can figure it out if you're a semi-experienced developer. But then when you're having to combine them, the complexity just kind of goes to the roof, or sometimes they're just not supported, right? And so we wanted to simplify things and not add yet another flavor of our own framework. We wanted to make it easier to combine or use the things that you're already interested in using. Even if you've never used it before, it should still be very simple to try out a new technology. And so doing that required us to have some really deep knowledge as to what is happening. And we needed a whole new system. I'd say a completely new version of CodePen in order to do that.
Yeah, it is a completely new version of CodePen. And like, the amount of technology that it takes to make this all work is frankly astounding. And I don't even know where to start. That's going to have to save for future shows and how it all works and stuff. But it does work, and it all works very fast, which is very satisfying. But we're focused on the why. So the why so far is we need to offer a lot more processing technology. We want to add lots and lots and lots of blocks. That's what we've designed this to do. So that's part of the why. And those blocks need to be infinitely combinable together. It doesn't matter which blocks you pick, we'll figure that out. So the why is like those two things. We got that so far. Now, another why is that a lot of those technologies they expect differently than they did in the very early days of CodePen. A lot of the processors back then were just like, basically give me a string and I'll process it into a different string, which all represent, most of us felt like a file, like one file turns into another file, like your SCSS file turns into a .css file. That's still true. It's complicated a little bit by they can import each other a little bit, but most processors these days, I'd wager to say, are more like expect to be working on a whole file system. And like, it's just, we just need to support. We also just know that people leave CodePen when they need that additional file. I just know that. I talk to professors and all kinds of people that are like, basically, you need that second HTML file, I'm out of here, you know?
Right.
So files is just it's just part of the deal. It just had to be there. We just needed a multi-file editor. We had already built that with projects. And so some of this learning comes from CodePen projects. It's just projects wasn't really, it was like pens with a file system. Like, wasn't that advanced really?
Right. I mean, the technology that I would say the number one thing that we got from projects is we learned so much as to what limited us, what we actually needed to do, and how we could, the project's experience as a end user wasn't CodePen-esque, right? Like every time you typed and made a change, you had to save in order to see the preview update. And that fundamentally changes your experience on CodePen. When you know that you can't just go into someone's project and play with it and see the updates without having to save it, you end up having to be, things were a little too slow, a little too clunky. We had to ask you too many questions. Like if you use Webpack, we need to be like, what file are you linking to? So the CodePen experience itself wasn't there, but we learned so much internally, technologically speaking, to understand like, well, what is it that we need to do to make this system work? And yeah, make it simple. What do we need to understand about what people are building that would allow us to kind of do more for them?
I love that. It's totally true. And it brings up this idea that this new version of CodePen, it's pens and projects. It can do everything that an existing pen today on CodePen can do or project. And in fact, as of right now, there's a button. If you want to prove that, go to one of your pens or projects, hit that button in the UI. You'll find it. It says like convert to 2.0 editor, and it'll just move it over for you. It's not a permanent conversion as I talk right now because we're in beta. So that'll come when we're not in beta. But you'll be able to see your work in the new editor and see how it's processed and handled in the new world. That's amazing because part of this is greenfield. Part of this was like, this is Alex's idea. This is like a whole new, we are building a brand new way to process, understand and process code quickly, totally new to the world. In a way, that's greenfield, except for with this additional constraint that it has to be totally backwards compatible with all of existing CodePen. So it's that too. And I've spent an unbelievable amount of time testing to make sure that's true.
You've led that project up, and that has been an insane amount of, I mean, it's been extremely valuable because one of the hardest things to do when you're building like a new version of something is to, you can so easily lose why you were successful, why you had any modicum of success. And for CodePen, that has been the simplicity of like, as much as you can't do certain things, that's been a real strength. You haven't needed to like wire things up in certain ways. You could just start working and start seeing output, and we're trying to keep as much of that simplicity as possible. And that is harder than it seems you're trying to support just kind of infinite complexity. We hope we've captured that. I'll let Steven talk about his classic block idea. And I won't step on his toes, but like there's been a lot of like thought and effort put into making sure it's as simple or as simple as we could possibly make it without limiting you so that you can still have that kind of CodePen experience.
I think we've nailed it personally, but you know,
a little bit biased, whatever. But
we're going to keep
working on that simplicity, you know?
Yeah. We can't lose everybody that exists on CodePen. And I don't want to either. We had success at CodePen because of the simplicity. People would tell us that. So like, I'm not trying to turn my back on that. That would be literally stupid, and we're not. So there you go. But yeah, the files is a whole thing. So it is there. You don't even have to care about it. You can never open that file drawer if you never wanted to.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. But it's there if you need it. And a lot of people are going to need it and want it and like it. And so that's there. It also means that, what we used for the UI to build this entire UI for this app? Our blood, sweat, and tears, baby. This is entirely from scratch. The editor is CodeMirror 6. Sean and I talked about that last week. So it's not like we don't use open source or whatever. We use tons of open source, you know. It's a Next.js site, whatever. We can get into the technology behind it. But the UI and the behavior and UX and everything is totally bespoke to us. This is not like we'll just fork Monaco or fork VS Code or whatever, like so many other editors are. This is totally CodePen's technology, and we sweated the crap out of the details of how it all works and also have an insane amount of control. We're not beholden to what any other project wants to do there. And I think it shows in a lot of cool ways. I think the way we handle like errors and mistakes in the build process through diagnostics is first class cool and all these things. But anyway, well, I guess that is my next one anyways. Like, why did we do this? Because we want to wanted to be better. We want like a better UI, better UX, better accessibility, better on mobile, better everything, better forever. So why do we do it? To be better in ways that you asked us to be
right.
better.
And not just be better for like, it's one thing to, you know, shoot your shot and be like, we are good today. It's like, how do you shoot your shot and make sure that you're going to be good now and into the future, right? As long as people are using websites and building websites with editors, we wanted to kind of shoot for that and focusing on supporting everything that's possible now, but in the very near future. And when I say the near future, I mean, hopefully the next 10 years before we're replaced by the bots. That was our goal, right? Our ability to build with modern technology, but also support everything else that's coming down the pipe. And so like not building our own like custom framework that you adhere to with our own custom config files and things like that. That was something I'm still so happy about because we're not trying to get you to learn our version, our flavor of the month, our version of Next.js or Vue or something akin to that. But we want to be able to support all those technologies that are honestly great. And they've fulfilled a lot of, they give you so much power, but like being able to use them and focus on building websites instead of focus on wiring things up and all the config hell that we all deal with. And it's something that we honestly specialize in at CodePen because that is the boring hard part. You know, we want to get that out of your way and yet let mm-hmm. you build with the technologies that you want.
We're also not stupid and not totally trying to avoid the elephant in the room, but AI exists now. I think you probably know that, Alex. You know, it's just, it's
I've heard about
to
it
me
a
here.
Bit.
Yeah, yeah. We've kind we, of, of course, have been thinking about it and playing with it and using it ever since it became a thing. Of course, we have. We're developers who love toys and stuff. So, you know, I hope it's not too conspicuous, but there's not a lot of AI that you'll see as a user on day one of this public beta. Do we want to play with and offer lots of those cool features? Yeah, we do. But we knew ahead of time that like if we build a system that is kind of friendly to how AI operates, then that's going to be better for us in the long term rather than just jamming in AI features too early. Like this system is pretty helpful in a lot of ways to AI. So you're going to see some of that. But here's the other thing is like, you're messing around with AI code and you got the code. Where are you going to do with it? Where are you going to put it? I also hope that CodePen is like a cool, it's like you put it on CodePen because then you can deploy it and then you can show people and then you can have conversations about it and then you can collaborate on it with your friends. And then you have a history of what you changed on the project. There's a million reasons to put it here. And if CodePen is part of the infrastructure story, that's awesome, you know?
Right. Yeah. And the thing I'm really proud of with what we built is that the same thing that will make it easier for you to build on CodePen and maintain something and add complexity to a website over time is actually the same thing that combines exceptionally well with AI tools, right? So one of the, I would say, flaws of AI when you're building with AI is it can build really complex things that are hard to understand very quickly, right? Mm-hmm. By limiting the amount of inherent complexity that you have to deal with, we're also limiting the amount of complexity that AI would have to deal with so that you can understand when you build a site eventually with some AI help on CodePen, you'll still be able to understand what it built and how it wired up the technologies because they're very simple. You can look at every block individually. You can look at every piece of the site individually and not have to be concerned that it's going to be unmaintainable a month or a week or whatever.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? Like it's this, what can be very complicated in the building of things is how things are wired together. And there is no wiring of it together. The compiler handles that part for you. So it just doesn't need to worry about that. And the what the compiler spits out at the other side is very, it spits out internally. Like we can see the files at any given moment during the processing. There's elaborate logs that are telling you what's happening and where things are went wrong and what file on what line at what character and stuff. You know, like, you know what's AI is going to gobble up that kind of beautiful context about what's wrong.
Yeah. Know? And that's what's interesting about like modern LLMs, which is essentially our euphemism for what we call AI in this podcast, is that the same thing that humans, if a human can understand it really well, the AI can understand it really well. And so they kind of, by optimizing, we've optimized for humans in this release, not for the AI understandability. It's actually really integrates exceptionally well with it. So we're excited about all of it, but we're most excited about the fact that just as a human being who builds websites and wants to learn the technology themselves, that it'll make really hard things possible and make simple things pretty easy, you know? So like, you hopefully get you out of that config hell and let you focus on what you're actually trying to build, not how to wire it all together.
Yeah, yeah. Every feature we put into that, like, how can this be easier? Which is pretty satisfying, you know, where, you know, the fact that deployment is built in is just such a fun thing for me, because especially it's like, so you built this thing, right? Like, I remember the very first days ever on the internet where I was enchanted by the idea that if I could buy a domain name and I could put something on that domain and figure out, just struggle through, is so difficult in the early days, figuring out like, oh, how does FTP work? Oh my gosh. And get it to work, that I had this stuff up at a URL that anybody could see. That spark of excitement is real still. You can hit a button and get a real URL that you can send to anybody in the world, and it's going to show them that website. That's incredibly powerful, intoxicating thing, especially to just to some people, you know, like maybe it's not to everybody, but there's people out there that just are enchanted by the idea of websites. And if CodePen can be part of that story, where we can be that host for you, be that place where a website is created that's communicating an idea or showing something or solving a problem or selling something or anything, I just love that. I want to like be a part of the web in that way too. That has nothing to do with CodePen itself. It has to do with your website and what your website is trying to do or say.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Like being part of the story where you go from idea to actually seeing it on the web very quickly, instead of it just staying an idea. Like we all have these interesting things that are interesting to us. Having a place where you can actually do that very quickly and easily, that is sometimes it's even for me when I use the editor, having built the backend and the compiler and having thought about it far too long for, you know, way too much. I'm still surprised at how the things it can do when it comes together, because it's just the perfect example of like where the whole is a lot more than some of the parts. And it's impressive. It's just like, this is why we build software, so that we can build things like this. And so just, it's really exciting. I can't wait to see what people build with it. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you should see how packages work. It's so cool. But we're just going to have one to leave it favorites. At that for another one. So
yeah, that's a tease.
Yeah, little tease. All right. Well, thanks. Obviously, we're excited about it. Yeah, and we'll dig into the more specific parts of it for sure in future episodes. But yeah, give it a shot and build something. You don't need our permission anymore. Public beta.
Yeah, build something awesome.
Yeah. Peace.